Since the last time you were here talking to me, we were discussing the island of Crimea.
Uh-huh.
And,
so you can see that I'm writing such the thick books every year.
Very thick, yes. I knew you had obviously, I had known you had written The Burn at the time, but it had not been in print in this country. And you were at that time teaching at Goucher.
Yes, I'm still teaching there.
And you were enjoying the young women there and their riding outfits and the horses?
Yes, they are still riding horses and they take in archery and even Russian literature from time to time.
You're also teaching at Johns Hopkins?
Yes, part-time there, part-time here. They have a sort of consortium between two schools.
Between the two schools?
Yes. Uh-huh. So I'm a writer in residence at Goucher College and part-time at Johns Hopkins.
And you're still living in Washington?
In Washington, yes.
Well, let's talk a little bit about The Burn, which is substantially different from the island of Crimea in many ways. I was particularly impressed with the portion of the book which you call Five in Solitary, because that dealt with the Soviet prison camp in Siberia.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you as a child grew up, or at least part of your childhood, you grew up in Siberia because of your mother's internment. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, actually, I joined my mother when I was already 16. After my parents had been arrested they've been arrested in 1937. That time I was five. I was brought up by my aunt. And then my mother was released from the camps, and she settled in the city of Magadan, which was, as a matter of fact, the capital of this Gulag Empire.
Now let's go back a little bit. Why was your mother and why was your father arrested?
They were arrested during the mass purges of the Stalin's time. They were loyal communists, loyal members of the party. Father joined the party at the beginning of the revolution in 1918, at the age of 19. So they were rather faithful communists, but during the purges they were making no difference between loyal and unloyal members of the party. They were just purged for the unknown reason. They were reconstructing the party. They were eliminating the, I would say, old guards of Lenin's guards, replacing them by their own sort of people.
Now, you say you were 16 when you joined your mother in the prison camp.
Right.
How long were you there?
Just for 2 years. I finished the high school there in Magadan. You know, on the surface, that was just regular life, with high school, with movie houses and some food stores and so and so and so and so. But on the under the surface, there were a lot of the camps, barbed wire, and many peculiar things. For instance, this local theater company was made of the prisoners. All of them were the prisoners, actors and singers and musicians who served their terms in the camps. And so they were Every night they were escorting to the movie house, to the theater for their performance by the armed guards, and sometimes even with dogs.
Did you actually live in a prison camp, or did you, as
no,
you had the run of the town?
I never lived in the prison camps, and my mother was already released the time I joined her.
She still stayed there?
Well, she was in the exile position.
Yeah.
So she was released from the camp because her 10 years term was over already. But she couldn't move out of this place. She was on the exile position.
Your mother also wrote about her experiences there, didn't she?
Oh, yes, she did. And she wrote the two famous celebrated books, Journey into the Whirlwind and Within the Whirlwind, this second part of her memoirs. And they were published, first part of that was published in Italy in 1967 and became a bestseller in Italy and Europe.
So while you trained to be a doctor, as you matured, there was a strong literary influence in your family.
Yes, sure. Mm-hmm.
When you wrote The Burn, it was obvious, as I read it, that it wasn't the kind. It is not the kind of book one would expect to be written in the Soviet Union. It's very surreal to me,
mm-hmm.
And sometimes I noticed it can be difficult. Sometimes you have to get into it and follow it very closely, because you tend to change tenses and perspectives a lot.
Right.
And you have a lot of interrelationships in your characters. What made you approach a book, a novel, in this form, knowing that it would run against the grain of the kind of literature being produced in the Soviet Union?
Well, you know, this book is written in the tradition of the Russian avant-garde, I would say. And the Russian avant-garde was in the same stream as European avant-garde was at that time. I mean the turn of century and the Soviet 20s were the times when the avant-garde traditions were flourishing in Russia. They were artificially abrupted by the severe repressions during Stalin's time. And I had an idea when we started our performance on the literary stage in Russia that we have to restore this broken chain of tradition. So That was the natural result of my own development as a writer. I started with the rather realistic books, based mostly on some social aspects of the life, exploring some ideas of the younger generations and so on and so during the late 50s, early 60s. But during this period I was developing as a writer, I was looking for new and new forms of expressions. And at last I gone through some different periods of my own development as a writer. And at last I came to the form of The Burn. That was the natural result of my own development, of the many influences I got during this period, including Western influences and the influences of our own rediscovered avant-garde traditions.
Who were some of the Western influences?
Many of them. Well, let's say about the American literature. We were really fond of the so-called, how we call them, the Great Five. We call them Great Five, American Great Five. First of all, Ernest Hemingway, John Dos Passos, Scott Fitzgerald, John Steinbeck, and who fifth?
Well, whoever the brother.
No. Let me remember who was fifth. Faulkner, of course. Faulkner.
None is a surrealistic writer at all, though.
But John Dos Passos made a great deal in this some form of composition, you know, that modern composition that was his achievements in composition of the modern novel. He made a lot.
Well, you began to develop as a writer, and you began to create your own style, and obviously it came to the fore in The Burn. But what happened after you wrote it? You had a huge manuscript here. The United States publication of The Burn is 528 pages. So you must have had a large stack of manuscript pages. What did you do with it?
Well, first of all, when I completed that in 1975, first of all, I was preoccupied by the idea of smuggling that. So I did.
You smuggled it out.
I smuggled it abroad, just for safety, not for publication, for safety. Because I knew that this is explosive material from the Soviet authorities' point of view, of course. And I was really afraid of that. So I asked some friends in Moscow to help me smuggle that abroad. Just for safety, because I understood that if I would dare publish that would change my whole life. And I was right. In 2 years after that, after this manuscript reached the Western shores, I was approached by two KGB men, and they told me they obtained a copy of that. When I asked them how they did, they just told me, please don't suspect any of your friends. They are not... that's our job, to look for the manuscripts like this. And so they warned me, If I would dare to publish that, they would have to say goodbye to me. And when I asked them, what do you mean saying that? They told me that, well, you would have to abandon Soviet literature after that. So they kept their promise.
To where did you smuggle the manuscript?
Excuse me?
Where did you send the manuscript after you smuggled it out? Where did it go?
Well, it went to the friend of mine, the lawyer, just for safety.
A lawyer where, in England?
No, in the United States.
In the United States. Mm-hmm. You had the manuscript. Did you have access to photocopying machines?
Not at all,
Was this the only copy of the manuscript that you spoke?
No, I had four copies.
How did you make four copies?
By carbon paper.
Carbon paper.
Uh-huh. The copy machines are under strict control in the Soviet Union.
I understand.
You cannot use it.
I understand. Yeah, that would be fatal.
That's right. For people to be able... The modern technology is against totalitarian attitudes.
Well, that's why I wondered how you had been able to create four manuscripts. But we don't think in terms of carbon paper here anymore.
You forgot about carbon paper.
Yeah, we used to use carbon paper back in the old days, but we don't
That's
use
right.
that. So you smuggled, the manuscript was sent with friends of yours to a lawyer, where, here in New York?
No, in Seattle.
Where?
Seattle, Washington.
In Seattle.
Seattle, Washington.
And he held that manuscript.
Yes, for a while, yes.
So you never made an effort after the manuscript left the Soviet Union to get it published in the Soviet Union?
No, that was obviously that there is no sense of that. It was absolutely impossible even to imagine this book published officially in the Soviet Union, not only because of its political weight, but by the form you mentioned, Don, right now, about that this avant-gardist form and some surrealistic descriptions and so on, so it's not their cup of tea at all.
It was published in the West in the Soviet language. Is that correct?
It was published first time in Italy. First edition was Italian, not Russian.
It was translated into Italian?
Into Italian.
Did that translation stem from the manuscript that was in the office in Seattle?
Well, I don't really remember that. Maybe that was another copy. Because by that time the manuscript was already had this sort of the very small circulation. I would say that it was already written by 40 or 50 people in Moscow, and I already had not four but maybe 10 copies or 12 copies of that. So one copy. I gave one copy to my Italian friends, the translators, and they were fascinated by that, and they prepared their version, and they told me that they are ready, and I decided to go ahead with that at last.
Was there an English edition of this book printed prior to the first U.S. printing?
That was published a month before Random House edition, Random House and Houghton Mifflin edition. That was published by Hutchinson in London, Hutchinson.
This year?
This year, yes.
I just
came back from London after the publication campaign.
So the English printing and the American printing came out almost at the same time?
Almost same time, yes.
When was the translation completed?
Oh, it was completed a year ago, almost a year ago, maybe a little bit less.
Translation was done by Michael Glennie.
Did
the publisher select the translator?
They did. He's considered one of the best, Michael Glennie. Among his works is such a great book as Master and Margarita by Bulgakov and some others, famous books. And he is really good. He is very inventive.
Did you work with Michael Glennie at all?
Yes, we did. We worked, three of us, my editor, John Galassi, Glennie, and myself were sitting.
I see that the U.S. edition was jointly published by Random House and Houghton Mifflin. How did that happen?
That happened because of the first offer I received from Houghton Mifflin, from John Galassi. I was fortunate enough that because of John Galassi can read Italian, you know. So he read the first edition of the book, Italian edition, and he had his idea of the book. And that was he who offered me first American edition. That time he worked for Houghton Mifflin. During the preparation of the book, he changed for Random House for his personal reasons. And after some negotiations, rather difficult negotiations, especially for me, the fresh newcomer, I didn't know any your habits and customs, so I decided to follow him.
Boy, are you lucky having Galassi who reads Italian?
Yes, I was really lucky with that because, well, here this first time. I don't want to mention that, but first time the manuscript was read here by some people who actually undermine that in New York. Only because of Galassi could read Italian, it was accepted by the major publishing house.
I have to ask you, what is the significance of the title?
Well, it doesn't have the any actual meaning, but it means that the burn is the pain. As a pain, just a pain, that like the touch of the flame to the unprotected human skin. That's it. This life itself as a burn.
You have been in
metaphor for the metaphor for the life, as short as the touch of flame.
You've been in the United States now for, what, 2 years?
For 4 years.
4 years? Mm-hmm. And you now have two major books out. It looks as though you've settled in quite well, haven't you?
Well, I don't have complaints.
Well, you may have one or two. any plans ever? Do you think you'd ever?
I'm now writing I'm now writing a book about my American impressions.
This is a nonfiction book.
Nonfiction book.
You told me the last time you were here that you had planned to start writing some nonfiction in English.
No, no, not at all. That's,
I thought you'd give it a shot.
I'm from time to time. I'm writing some small pieces in English for some reviews or. But that's too late for me to start new language. I'm too old for that.
Any chance that you'll ever go back to your homeland?
No chances at all. No chances at all, unfortunately.
Vasily Essiono, thank you very much for
coming
in and talking to me again.
Mm-hmm.